little flavor to that last story that you shared, Ron, about the Hmong people that were there. I won't say who the person was, but in one of his prayers, he prayed for the Hmong people, and he actually continued to use the prayer, or the words, the Hmong among us. And he used this, just how much I was paying attention. He used the phrase, the Hmong among us, 7 times in one prayer. Now, those of you that have been in our home know that I have a bit of a project going on right now. And I call it a project because, like a project that you would do in elementary school, it's been a learning experience for me. You see, when we purchased our town home in 2005, we bought a place that had an unfinished basement. And I thought, what a great opportunity for me to put a little work into this, to finish this basement, and then hopefully in a few years sell it and maybe make a little bit of money. Well, I went in with high expectations of myself and soon realized that some of the training that I had received back home on the farm was helpful in many ways, but there's certain aspects of construction that I just hadn't learned. I knew how to swing a hammer. I knew how to run some power tools. I knew how to do a few basic things, but I had never done any kind of framing or drywall work. So when it came time to build that first wall to divide a room, I was gung-ho, I was excited about it. I cut all the boards to the length that I thought they needed to be, and I nailed them all together, and you know, you've got this long stretch of a framed wall, and you're ready, you stand it up, the big heavy thing, and you put it up there, and it's 3 inches too tall. And those of you that have ever done any kind of framing know why it was exactly 3 inches too tall. And as I started doing the drywall, as I progressed in my work, there was one certain wall I was very excited about. There's just a small wall, 3 feet wide by about 7.5 feet tall. And I cut this piece of drywall, had it put in there, set in place, put all the screws in, and I had it exactly the way I wanted it. But I noticed that on the opposite wall, in the other room, the outlet, where the electrical outlet was, it wasn't quite flush with the wall. So I thought, as I was at this point, maybe it would be best just to take this piece of drywall back off the wall and adjust the outlet, so because I was never going to have an opportunity to do it as easily as I could now. I put the drywall up with screws. So I pulled this piece of drywall back off, adjusted that outlet box on the opposite wall, and put the piece of drywall back into place. Well, then last week, Sonia and I go on a romantic outing to a place that I like to go from time to time. It's called Lowe's. And when we were at Lowe's, we came across this prefabricated shelf unit. And we started looking at this and we were saying, wow, this prefabricated shelf would be excellent to slide back in that corner where I had put that same piece of drywall up twice now. And yes, if I was to put this prefabricated unit in there, I would have to take that piece of drywall back down one more time. So the same piece of drywall has gone up and will have come back down twice. And also, once I get past that point, I've had the opportunity to try to learn how to do the mud work and the taping on the drywall. Now, I see people laughing already. Doing the joint compound, the mud, is not as easy as you might think it might be. The mud work is more of an art form than a science. And let me tell you what, I am not a very good artist. Now the thing about mud is that you can have some grace when you're putting this drywall, the joint compound up there. Because if you make a few mistakes, you always have the chance to sand it back off and reapply it. But what I've learned as I've worked on our basement over the last 2 years is I have learned how to develop a sense of persistency and perseverance in this work. I have learned that if I stick with it long enough, though I might make mistakes along the way, that I can finish the job and I can do it well. Now our scripture for today comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And in these verses, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And he teaches them how to pray with persistency and perseverance. So if you have your Bibles with you today, feel free to follow with me as I read from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place. And after he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" Verse 5, "And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So our text for today begins with Jesus praying to God. And the disciples witness that Jesus is praying, and they come up to him and they say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." The disciples are recognizing already that prayer is an important part, or should be an important part of their lives. So they go to Jesus and they say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus teaches us, and teaches his disciples, what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Well, the account that we find here in Luke is a little different than the one we probably all have memorized from our youth. But it's the same basic prayer, or at least the beginning of the same basic prayer. So Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer. But then after verse 4, Jesus seems to make this major switch. He begins to tell this parable about 3 different people. And we'll call these three people the visitor, the host, and the friend. Well, a visitor comes to the house of this host and stays with him for a while. And when the visitor arrives, the host has no food for the visitor. And you see, in these days, this would have been considered an insult to the visitor. Because there were 2 things that you were supposed to do to be hospitable to a visitor in your home. You were to wash their feet or provide them some way to wash their feet, and you were to provide for them food to eat. And we don't know if the visitor was able to wash his feet or not, but we find that this host did not have any food to share with this visitor. So he goes to a friend's house and asks if he can borrow 3 loaves of bread to share with the visitor. But when this host gets to the friend's house, he begins to knock on the door, and the friend comes to the window and says, "Go away. We have already turned off the lights. We've snuffed the candles. We've locked the door. The kids are all snuggled in their beds. My wife and I are getting ready to go to bed. Come back some other time." But see, the host does not give up that easily. He does not just leave because his friend was not willing to give him bread the first time. And he continues to knock on the door. And he begins to call out to his friend, asking him, "Please, give me 3 loaves of bread." And he continues to knock louder and harder until finally this friend gives in and provides the bread that this host was looking for. And now Jesus interjects. And he says that it is not that because these people are friends that the host is able to get the bread from his other friend. The reason that he gets the bread that he so dearly needs is because he is persistent in his asking. Because he does not give up too easily. So when we come to this parable, which begins in verse 5, we have to ask ourselves, what is Jesus trying to teach us in this parable? And what is he trying to teach his disciples, the original hearers of this parable? Is he trying to teach them that if they truly want something, that they need to set their eyes on it, to keep their eyes on the goal, and to continue to work towards that goal until they reach it? Is he talking about something such as hanging drywall, or doing the mud work, making the joints nice and smooth? Is he talking about some earthly goal that we are to set our minds on? No. What he's teaching us here is to be persistent in our prayer. Sure, it's a good thing to be persistent in the work that you do. That's a good thing. We want to keep working. But what he's teaching here is to be persistent in our prayers. When Jesus begins this section, at the end of verse 4, he finishes up what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And in verse 5, the first word that's listed in my Bible, in verse 5, is the word, and. Other versions will say, then. The words and then represent that there's a continuation of the theme that has already begun in the previous verses. So we believe that these verses, verses 5 through 13, are a continuation of when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. The New Living Version even has it written like this in verse 5. It says, then, teaching them more about prayer, Jesus told them this parable. So this is a continuation of what Jesus has taught them about prayer. Now there are some people who would say that praying in a persistent and to persevere in prayer, praying in a way over and over again, shows a lack of faith. People believe that we should only have to ask God for something one time, and if we truly have faith, that should be enough. And there's even scripture that can back this theory up. If we look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, we find that Jesus says, when you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. There are some people that say, by praying the same prayer over and over, night after night, week after week, that we are just heaping up empty phrases in our prayers. And furthermore, if God already knows what it is that we need, well then why is there any need for prayer at all? Well, for that first question, I would ask you the question. Is there not a difference between heaping up empty phrases and lifting up holy praises? I believe that what Jesus is saying when he says, don't be like the Gentiles and heap up empty phrases, is that, again, this is a continuation of the verses that we find before that. When he's saying, don't be like the hypocrites who stand out and pray for the acceptance of their fellow man and women. What Jesus is saying about the empty phrases is, don't pray empty words so that other people can be impressed by the way you are praying. Don't pray as if you're trying to perform for other people. Prayer doesn't have to be like poetry. It just rolls off your tongue in a beautiful way. Because God hears it the same way, no matter what the words are that come out of our mouth. It doesn't matter if you pray like a pastor who has been ministering for 50 years, that has that much experience, or if you pray like a 4-year-old child. God hears what is in our hearts. And God knows what we need even before we pray. Romans 8:26 even teaches us that when we do not know how to pray, that the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. So I don't believe that we are heaping up empty phrases when we continue to ask the Lord for something day after day and week after week. But why do we even need to pray at all if God already knows what we need before we ask Him? Well, I believe that I have come up with 4 different reasons why we should continue to pray with persistency and perseverance, even though God already knows what it is that we need. And the first reason that I have come up with is that, first of all, it was modeled by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the closest person to God to ever walk the face of this earth, because Jesus Christ was, in fact, God. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, God incarnate. And there has never been and never will be anybody who is closer to God than Jesus. Because again, Jesus is God. Yet Jesus saw that it was necessary to pray to God with persistency and perseverance. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John and ascended the mountain where the transfiguration took place, what was their main goal? Why did they go up that mountain? When Jesus sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee to Gennesaret, after feeding the multitudes, he stayed behind Why did he stay behind? The night when Jesus was to be betrayed and handed over to the Roman government, he went away to the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he do there? As Jesus hung on the cross, stretched out, one of his last phrases was to ask for forgiveness for those who were doing this to him. What kind of an act was that? All of these instances are instances where Jesus prayed. And this is just a small sample of the times that we find that Jesus prayed throughout the Bible. He prayed with persistency and perseverance. Now, we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to follow him in both word and deed. We are to live our lives by the words Jesus said, and we are to mimic him in the way we live as well. Jesus Christ showed us and told us to love one another. So we are to love one another just as Jesus showed us how to love one another. Jesus showed us how to resist people peacefully. And we are to do the same. Jesus gave us the example that he was willing to lay down his life for others. And we, if called upon, are to do the same as he did. We as disciples of Jesus Christ are called to follow him in word and deed. And Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. And he consistently practiced prayer and prayed with persistency and perseverance. Now my second point as to why we are to pray, if God already knows what we need with persistency and perseverance, is so that we can remember that God is all-powerful and in charge of all things. As I walked out of my house this morning on the way to church, I held my Bible in my hand and I began walking towards the car, and I heard this sound. Crunch, crunch, crunch. And I stopped and listened. And it was silent. So I walked a little further. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Well, that crunching sound that I was hearing was the grass underneath my feet. Our yard is completely dead. We haven't had rain, or we haven't had a lot of rain this summer, as I'm sure many of you have not as well. The grass is dying because we have not had the adequate amount of moisture for it to live. As you look through your gardens and through the fields, you can see the same thing as well. The plants are dying because they don't have enough water. So we know what the problem is. We know why these things are dying. Why don't we just fix it? Isn't there a spigot somewhere that we can turn on, or a valve that we can flip and just cause the rain to come down? It's not that easy. There are things that we as human beings are limited in what we can and cannot do. And we cannot make it rain. Sure, I see my neighbors watering their yard, and I see people irrigating the fields, the farmers irrigating, and I'm sure some of you are watering your gardens at home. But these are only temporary fixes. They are only temporary things to hold us over until the rain does come. And God knows that we need the rain. So why should we pray to God for rain? Why should we bother praying when God already knows? God knows that we need him to provide the rain. But do we know? If God was just to give us everything that we needed without us taking time to ask of him, we would just be like spoiled children. Sometimes we need God to allow us to come to him to ask for the things that he already knows that we need, so that we can be reminded how much we rely upon him for the things that help us to live every day, day in and day out. Because without our realizing that it is God that provides all these things, we do become like spoiled children. God knows what we need, and so do we when we take time to pray to him with persistency and perseverance. The third reason that I found for why God wants us to pray to him with persistency and perseverance is to remind us of one another's needs. Now, each Sunday, we spend time praying for one another. We often have prayer requests listed in our bulletins, and people will take these home and remember them throughout the week, praying for these people time and time again. Now, one example from our life, from Sonia and my life, that I think that you're all familiar with, is that her mother last year began a battle with breast cancer. It's been almost a year now since she found out the bad news. It was Labor Day weekend. Soon after Labor Day weekend when we found out that she had this breast cancer. And we, as a congregation, prayed every Sunday for my mother-in-law, Sue Miller. We lifted her up in prayer frequently. We didn't just pray for her one time and then forget about it, having confidence that God would take care of a thing. Yes, we did have confidence that God would take care of this, but we still prayed week in and week out. Some of you have never met my mother-in-law, Sue, but yet you would come to us on Sundays and say, "How's your mother-in-law doing? We've been praying for her." The prayer that you have offered on her behalf has helped you to remember her, to keep her in your heart, to keep her dear to you. Now, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in our scripture today, in verses 1 through 4, he did not use first-person pronouns. He did not pray, "My Father in heaven." He did not say, "Give me today my daily bread," but he said, "Our Father in heaven, and give us today our daily bread." Prayer can be a communal thing. And yet it's okay to ask for things for yourself, but God wants us to ask him for things for other people as well. And in doing so, we will remember the needs of other people, and we can grow closer to them, and we can keep them in our hearts, near and dear to us. Yes, God knew that my mother-in-law needed healing from her cancer. But we needed reminded day in and day out just how badly she needed it. And that is why we are to pray with persistency and perseverance, even though God already knows what she needs. And today, almost 1 year later, we have seen that God has worked through this prayer. And today, Sue Miller is as healthy as she was, ever was. She's doing well. She was able to spend 3 months in Louisiana helping with Mennonite Disaster Service, building houses, and trying to rebuild the Gulf Coast. Now, my fourth and final point for this morning as to why we are to pray to God with persistency and perseverance, even though he already knows what we need, is so that we may better understand how God works in our lives. You see, it is my belief that God has all the ability to work in any way that he wants. Yet God chooses to work through human beings. Now often when we pray, we expect God to answer our prayers in a certain way. When we pray for something, we have an idea in our minds how this prayer might be answered. But it's kind of funny to think about us telling God what to do. Because God will answer our prayers. But God will answer in his own way. For instance, I have had problems throughout my life with patience. I haven't always been the most patient person in the world. There have been times as I've been working that I get frustrated when things don't go my way. And I maybe have to give it up and come back to it later or ask somebody else to finish the job that I started and not been able to complete. And this has been a struggle for me throughout my life. And then one day, I decided I needed to pray to God for patience. And I said, "God, give me patience, and give it to me now." Well, God doesn't always work the way we want him to work in our lives. But as I have looked back on my life, as I've continued to pray that prayer for patience, I can see now that God has been working in my life. God has been moving me to a place where I have more patience. And if I had not been praying with persistency and perseverance, maybe I wouldn't have recognized that God had changed me. Maybe I wouldn't have had that on my mind all the time. But as I continue to work in my basement, hanging drywall, working with the mudroom, I see that perhaps this is one way in which God is using my daily activities to provide patience for me. And though maybe this patient hasn't come as quickly as I'd like it to, but again, I can see that God is working through my prayers. God is working through me to answer my prayers. Looking back, I can see that God works in many different ways, in exciting ways, and in new ways all the time. So why did Jesus teach his disciples to pray with persistency and perseverance, even when God already knows what they need. And why should we continue to do that practice today? We should do so because it was modeled by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to do so to remember that God has all power, that He is mightier, and He can do things that we cannot do alone. We need to do so to remind us of each other's needs, to hold them up in prayer, and to keep them in our hearts. And we need to do so to help us to understand how God works and how God is working in our lives and in the lives of others. And when we do this, when we pray with persistency and perseverance, we can witness a change in our lives. A change just like I've seen in my basement. Because this basement in our home once was this dark and dreary place that really didn't have much use or function. But through some time, some persistency and perseverance, this area has been changed into a livable, usable space. And God can change us as well. God can take us even if we are dark and dreary. And if we are persistent and if we persevere in our prayers, He can change us into the person that He wants us to be. Will you please join me in a word of prayer? A gracious and loving God, You are the Almighty Giver of all things. And Lord, though we don't fully understand why You ask certain things of us, may we deal with them anyways, Lord. It may be confusing at times as we wonder why pray if You know what's best for us. But Lord, You have modeled it through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and we have many reasons to practice prayer. May we do so in a faithful way and in a way that is pleasing unto You, Lord. And may we be changed through the power of prayer and formed into the person that You want us to be. It is in Your Son's holy name that we pray. Amen.